Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The fall's coming in on us, isn't it?
Yes,
I'm not complaining.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It's good to see you this morning. Thanks for being here, bringing the spirit of worship. Your smiles look good this morning. We got something to smile about. Amen. Because the gospel's good news. God loves us, and he's done everything for us that we need to live a life of godliness and holiness. Thanks for being here. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin worship. You see listed in the bulletin, Mondays 9 to 12, the Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project. They're making quilts to support our veterans. Sunday the 22nd. When is that? That's today, isn't it? 5 o'clock. So we're going to meet over at the Fellowship Hall, and we've got some plans to look at. So I want you to come be a part of that. Thursday the 26th, 10 a.m. Bible study. Here, September the 28th on Sunday evening, a baby shower from 2 to 4 for Sydney.
That's Saturday.
All right. Correction.
Saturday.
You better write it down. All right.
And on October the 6th, that is at 4
Well, that's why we have announcements. All right? So, let's go back to Sydney. If you don't know what to get her, go to Amazon, okay? You don't even have to leave the house. All right? But I know you probably...
What time will that run and take a look for some
money? It's Saturday, the 28th, and the other one is 4 o'clock.
Tar Heel Builders, 4 o'clock on the 6th. That's Sunday evening.
It'll be 4 o'clock.
At 4.
For you,
yep.
We want you a little bit earlier.
All right. I think the deacon's meeting's right. That's on the 8th, 6:30 on Tuesday. Old Friends Band's going to do a tribute to Greg Smith. You see the address listed. That's Saturday, October the 12th at 6:30. And... we have some meetings coming up the 13th on Sunday evening at 5, official board meeting. Homecoming will be on the 20th, and that evening at 5 we'll have our official business meeting. You see the Bill Gray Memorial Cook-Off is coming up. If you want to be a sponsor, see Joe Ellen. Anyone who needs to use the facilities, you need to schedule that with Donna Smith. Her number is listed. Any other announcements or corrections?
Yes.
All right.
On the 26th of October,
We'll be having another Stew Fest like we had last year that the men were in charge of. And I just want to let you all be reminded ahead of time. It's been a year, and I know you needed to be reminded. Remember, this is something that the ladies don't get involved with much except to eat. And we will bring some desserts.
Twenty-six.
Now, this is before the time change, so we shouldn't have to be driving in the dark. And
have you got a particular time you want to eat?
Well, I don't know, ladies. What you think? It's 4 o'clock.
All right. All in favor? We're going to do it at 4 unless you oppose. If y'all change your mind, you better let us know.
If you got any questions, just see a lady.
Any other announcements?
As far as I know, on the 20th, is Ladies Auxiliary also? Is that correct?
Yes.
So I guess we'll still meet maybe briefly, and then we'll come right up to the business. We got a busy day.
So you're going to do that at 4 then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any others? All right. We're taking care of our business. Let's get along to the Lord's business. All right. Take your bulletin stand as we begin worship. Yeah, y'all can stand while they sing. How about that? Let us read together responsibly. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice.
He heard my cry for mercy.
Because he turned his ear to me.
I will call on him as long as I live.
The Lord is gracious in righteousness.
Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord protects the simple-hearted.
When I was in great need, he saved me.
Be at rest once more, O my soul.
For the Lord has been good to you.
Praise the Lord.
Let us praise the Lord.
Father, we do indeed praise your name this morning. We praise the name of Jesus, that name that is above all names, and that's why we're here to worship this morning. We also thank you for hearing our voice when we cried out to you. We thank you for your compassion, for your mercy. And as we praise and worship you this morning, we pray that you'll take our expressions of our heartfelt thanks, and that you'll hear them and bless them, and just anoint us with your spirit from on high. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to 355. There's a wideness in God's mercy. We'll sing all the verses listed, all four. 355.
There's a kindness in the mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness.
seated. Jennifer McClawhorn has our scripture reading this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 1. And like Miss Linda Faye always does, she tells you what it's a little bit about. It's about following God's word. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the Lord, in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And our New Testament reading is in Mark, it's chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. And this is when Jesus predicts his death for a second time. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. And he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Start long, I have searched for life's meaning.
continue to worship as we pray, and I'll remind us all again that on the back of the bulletin are prayer concerns. As you pray during the week, remember these. We also need to remember Bill. He'll be having hip replacement surgery on Tuesday. That is our Bill Hawkins, okay? Are there any other needs?
Remember Karen Page.
Okay.
Has undergoing radiation therapy. And remember myself, I have two fractured vertebrae. I got to have something done with it. It seems to be going on, and I'm getting tired of it. So pray about that, please.
So you want us to pray for some patience?
I think I'm being tested all
the time. Okay. All right.
Richard Moore,
okay.
Crystal McCoy and the family of Whit Connor.
Crystal McCoy and Whit Connor family, okay.
Whit Connor, she's a young man that was killed in a tragic car accident this past week.
Okay. Any others?
Christy Spann.
Who?
Christy Spann,
okay. Any others? We can take comfort in knowing that as we pray for one another, that God hears our prayers. He knows our needs. Even sometimes when we don't know how to pray, we have an advocate with the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. He makes prayers and petitions on our behalf according to the Scriptures. So let's go before the throne now and lift these needs and one another in prayer. Hymn book, turn to 235. Take the name of Jesus with you, verses 1, 2, and 4. 235. Stand as we sing. Thank you.
blessed us in so many ways. And Lord, we come to return a portion of that to you. We ask that you show us how to use it, Lord, to make your light on this hill a little brighter. Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Stand for the doxology, please. Our scripture text today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. And it reads like this. This is Jesus speaking. As for anyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. Have y'all seen some of the houses built on sand out on the Outer Banks the last few weeks. That kind of reminded me of that verse of scripture, you know. You know, we've got some great teachers in the world today. It's colleges, universities, our public schools. We've got some of the greatest ones here at Deep Run, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, we need great teachers. You know, we need to learn. We need to learn to be successful in life. And that requires, you know, being taught. And, you know, as a teacher, you expect your pupils to learn what you teach them, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And to apply it, right? And then they'll make good citizens, right? Amen. Well, today we want to talk about the greatest teacher who ever lived. We've been talking about Jesus and following Jesus. And today we want to talk about following the greatest teacher who ever lived. And this is one of the most important aspects of Jesus' ministry on earth. It was his teaching ministry. He was on earth for about 3.5 years, and what he taught changed the world as we know it. It's true he came to this world that we might have life in him. It's true he came that and died on the cross so that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And, you know, but he came to do more than just die for our sins. Jesus came to teach us how to live, because this is our dilemma. As a people, we're not very good at it. I mean, the truth is we really don't know how to live properly. We don't always know the right thing to do. And when we do know the right thing to do, we're not always real good at doing it. So Jesus came to teach us how to live. And his teachings cover every facet of life. He teaches us how to sort our priorities. He teaches us how to treat our friends, how to respond to our enemies, and to those who don't treat us well. He teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how to relate to God. He teaches us what it means to love God. And he teaches us what our proper attitude should be towards money and possessions and generosity and the accumulation of wealth. He teaches us the best way to invest it. He teaches us how to face our problems and how to deal with adversity. He teaches us what to do when we're afraid or worried or full of doubt. He teaches us what it means to live a life of faith and what it means to know God and how to have everlasting life. The teachings of Jesus give us the answers we need to live this life, but more importantly, the life to come. Let's talk a moment here about the different teaching styles of Jesus. His most common style of teaching was to tell stories, and I'm not talking about lies, okay? The Bible word for them is what?
Parable.
All right, y'all can preach this. But you know, they're really just stories. They're stories that teach a lesson or explain a spiritual truth. The Living Bible says it this way in Mark 4:2. His usual method of teaching was to tell people stories. He talked about a farmer planting seeds, some on good soil and some on bad. He talked about a man who planted a wheat field and discovered that his enemy came in and planted weeds among the wheat. And he talked about how a woman baking bread needs to put a little yeast in the dough so that it will rise when it's placed in the oven. And he talked about how the smallest of seeds, the mustard seed, would grow into the largest of all garden plants, the mustard tree. He talked about a man who owned 100 sheep and lost one, so he went out and looked for it. He told about a man who gave his workers large sums of money and advised them to manage it well. He talked about the owner of a vineyard who hired day laborers, and he hired them throughout the day, but yet he paid them all the same wage. And we can go on and on and on about the stories, the parables that Jesus taught. These stories of Jesus, They're like spiritual seeds planted in the hearts of those who will listen. The story is always easy to remember, even if the listener doesn't understand meaning at first. But those who seek to know the truth will eventually have that ah moment when they say, okay, now I get it. Parable, earthly story, heavenly meaning. Now I understand. Another method that Jesus used is the memorable saying. In other words, a single statement consisting of a few words which sums up a spiritual principle, like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The meaning is unmistakable, isn't it? If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Judge not, that you be not judged. And he said, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And we could go on and on and on. His sayings are short and to the point. They're easy to remember, and they tell us what we need to know about what we need to do. Jesus also taught lessons through events of daily life. He saw some children, and he called those children to come to him, and they came, and he taught about what faith really means. He saw a widow drop two coins in an offering plate. And he talked about generosity. Pharisees brought a woman to him who had been caught in adultery. And he used that moment to teach about forgiveness and grace. A man comes asking to be healed on the Sabbath. And after Jesus heals him, he talks about the dangers of legalism. It's been said that all of life illustrates biblical truth. And we see this in the teachings of Jesus. He talks about everyday events in a way that can make spiritual truth come alive. And the truth is, the more time you spend in the Gospels learning how Jesus taught, the more spiritually perceptive you become. The more you're able to see the lessons of biblical truth in everyday life. Where others may see a mess, you'll see powerful examples of God's kingdom at work. And you'll understand what the Christian life is all about. That's why Jesus often said, for him who has ears, let him hear. He's talking about becoming spiritually perceptive. Church, may we all have ears to hear his voice. Amen. Now, these are just three examples of teaching methods that Jesus used. He used many more, such as rhetoric and logic, asking questions, and it was unlimited. But these three are the most common. And our goal is to follow Jesus. Our goal is to follow him. And to follow him, we must know him. When we know him, we can become more like him. And as we become like him, it is then that we can help others find and follow him. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And Jesus is a great teacher, and the Gospels contain his teachings. So what can you expect if you read the Gospels? Well, let's talk for a minute about five challenges. Yes, there's five, I know. Five challenges. But it won't take long, all right? This is simple, practical stuff, all right? So let's talk about these five challenges you can expect when you follow the greatest teacher who ever lived. That's right, I said five. All right, the first is, as you follow the greatest teacher that ever lived, as you see the Jesus in the Gospels, you want to be challenged to take a closer look. Now, there are many aspects of the teachings of Jesus that require more than a surface level scan. Any of y'all ever scan through the headlines on the newspaper? When you go in the Gospels, though, they require thought. You got to think. They require reflection. They require meditation. Sometimes you'll find yourself intrigued by what Jesus is teaching. Sometimes you'll find yourself stunned. Sometimes, quite frankly, you might even find yourself confused. But that's all right. It's okay. A man said to Jesus, "I'll follow you, but first let me bury my father." Jesus responded, "Let the dead bury the dead." What in the world was he? What did he mean by that? Another time he said to a Gentile woman, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Why in the world would Jesus say something like that? Another time a man came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher." Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." Why would Jesus say that? What does he mean? He's trying to say he's not good? He's trying to say he's not God? And there'll be times when you encounter a teaching in the Gospels that causes you to say, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What does that mean? What is Jesus really saying here?" Yet many of Jesus' teachings are so straightforward and direct that they require no interpretation. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That don't have to be interpreted, does it? But sometimes you're going to hear those stories. You're going to encounter those stories in the Gospels that leave you just scratching your head for a minute. And when you read the Gospels, expect to be challenged to take a closer look. Tell your neighbor, say, "You're going to have to look closer when you get in there." The second thing is, when you get in the Gospels, when you follow the Jesus of the Gospels, you're going to be challenged to take a second look. And a third look. And a fourth look. Maybe a fifth. Here's what I'm saying. The Gospel stories are so richly layered and packed with spiritual truth that you can keep coming back to them time and time again and discover something new every time you dig in. I mean, the Gospel stories are not like these dime store novels where when you've read one, you've read them all. The Gospel stories bear repeating. They're like classics. And every time you come back to the Gospels, you take a little deeper step than you did the last time. When I say you'll be challenged to take a closer look and a second look, I'm saying that the more you read the Gospels, the deeper you want to go. And you'll never quite reach the bottom of the well. It's just too deep. And it's just too full of the water of truth. That's the kind of God that we serve. And the third thing about following the greatest teacher who ever lived, when you go in the Gospels and you see the Jesus of the Gospels, you'll be challenged to take an inward look. Say inward.
Inward.
You know what inward means?
Inward.
It means inward. All right. You'll discover that in the Gospel stories and in the teachings of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is talking about you too. You. His stories aren't designed to tell us how bad all those other people are and how much better we are than they are and how the world would be a better place if they were just like us. No, when you read the Gospels, you get the impression that Jesus is talking to you about you. In the Gospels, you can see that Jesus is challenging you to evaluate yourself, to evaluate your heart, to evaluate your priorities, to take a personal inventory of who you are and where you are and where you stand in your relationship with the God who created you. For example, Jesus told a story about two men who went to the temple to pray. One was very religious. He never missed a religious service. And he was proud of it. And he prayed a rather self-congratulatory prayer. He said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm such a good person. And I'm so much better than everyone else. I thank you for that, Lord." Jesus said the other man was a sinner. He was a tax collector. And in Jesus' day, you couldn't be no worse sinner than to be a tax collector. He says he was even ashamed to even look up as he prayed. And as he bowed his head there, he simply said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. We see again and again in the scriptures, especially in the gospels, the sin that you need to worry about first and to worry about most is the sin that's polluting your life. Can I get amen on that one?
Amen.
Your sin, especially before we start pointing fingers at the rest of the world. Jesus challenged you to look inward at your heart and your thoughts and your attitudes and your words and your desires and your motives and your relationship with Him. And I tell you, I have found the more I can do that, the less time I have worrying about anybody else's sin. I mean, it keeps me pretty busy right there. You know, the truth is the Gospels never let you get away from looking down. They never let you get away with looking down on others. Jesus challenges you to deal with what's in your heart. And when you follow the greatest teacher who's ever lived, when you see the Jesus of the Gospels, the fourth thing is you'll be challenged to move out of your comfort zone. The world and even the church today, the world and even the church today is captivated with comfort and ease. But the gospel stories aren't light and fluffy feel-good stories. Now, they do contain words of comfort. The teachings of the gospels do comfort us. But you're going to also hear Jesus calling you to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to hear Jesus, the gospel, Jesus of the Gospels. And when you follow Him, you're going to hear Jesus tell you you've got to love those you're not inclined to love. You're going to have to give when you don't really want to give. You're going to have to obey when obedience is at the bottom of your list. You're going to have to pray when you're inclined to play. You're going to have to forgive when you don't want to forgive. You're going to have to act when you just want to sit. You're going to have to repent when you just are content to remain proud. Jesus of the Gospels will challenge you to persevere when you're tempted to quit. To stand in faith when you're ready to crumble. To hold fast to hope when all around you are giving in to despair. The Jesus of the Gospels will challenge you to share the good news when the world is addicted to bad news. In the Gospels, Jesus challenges you to stretch yourself, to move your faith in kingdom power to a whole new level. Are you ready to move? You can't read the Gospels every day and stay satisfied with where you are spiritually. You can't read the Gospels daily and be complacent about your role in God's kingdom. As you read about Jesus and come to know Jesus, you'll find yourself challenged again and again and again to do more and to be more for the glory of God. And this brings us to the fifth challenge. The challenge you can expect as you encounter and follow the greatest teacher who ever lived. You'll be challenged to take action. I'm saying you'll be challenged to put His teachings into practice. Jesus taught no theory. He only taught practical application of spiritual truth. He said it quite plainly in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one that does what the will of my Father who is in heaven. Who? The one who does the will of my Father. He went on to say in Matthew 7:24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. What do you have to do with the words of Jesus? They're mighty weak. You got to put them into practice. Jesus didn't preach FYI sermons. For your information, okay? He's not telling us, here's some interesting information about the Bible. No. Or here's some interesting information about God. No, the teachings of Jesus always move us in the direction of taking action. That's why Jesus said, follow me. Huh? James said it this way in James 1:22. James says that we are to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. And he went on to say, who deceive ourselves. Just because we hear a great teaching doesn't really mean much unless we put it into practice. In the Gospels, you find yourself challenged time and time again to be a doer of the Word of God, to put His teaching into practice in your daily life. And look, that's a good thing. Huh? God's not like a politician. God has our best interest at heart. God's not going to lead us astray. God's not going to tell us something He has no intention of doing. God's not going to try to just giddy life up before so that we'll like Him. No. It's a good thing to put His teachings into practice. And it begins with spending time in the Gospels every day, reading and rereading the teachings of Jesus Christ. Church, the challenge is to begin each day reading from one of the Gospels. Now, we can get amen on that, I know. I mean, I'm challenging you to take time, to spend time each day listening to what Jesus had to say. And look, you might say, well, I can't see. Well, I can't hardly see. I got all the different kind of glasses. But I got this app on my phone I found. It's free. And when I leave the house, I can turn Jesus on. And He'll talk to me all the way till I get to work. That's all I got to do is just drive and listen. And you know what? When I get ready to come home, it picks right back up where it started. Read it right to you. We need to spend time with Jesus every day. And one way is we read the Gospels. We listen to Jesus and we think about what He has to say. We meditate on what Jesus has to say. And then we ask ourselves, what is Jesus saying to me? What does Jesus' words mean for me today? And how do I respond to His teaching today? What action do I need to take so I can be a follower of Jesus? In conclusion, earlier I read from Matthew where Jesus talks about a man that built his house. In the Gospel of Luke, here's how Luke explains it. He says, I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. All right? Now, the next verse, verse 48, it don't apply to you if you're not going to take the teaching of Jesus and follow it. Okay? So don't claim 48 if you're not going to do what 47 says, all right? All right. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. Beloved, Jesus came not only to die for our sins on the cross, but to teach us how to live no matter what circumstance in life you face. And there are all kinds of circumstances, good ones and bad ones. But no matter what you face, no matter what storm you encounter, and no matter how devastating it may seem. Life with Jesus, it works. You can build your life on the teachings of Jesus because he taught lessons that anyone can learn, anyone can understand, and anyone can do. From the youngest child to the oldest adult. And when you build your life on the teachings of Jesus, you're building your life on a solid rock. You're positioning yourself to live life in kingdom power before a lost and dying world. But we need to take that first step. We need to know Jesus. And we can know Jesus when we spend time with Jesus in the Gospels and we listen to his teaching and we look for ways to put his words into practice when we follow Jesus. Church, let's show the world what following the greatest teacher who ever lived looks like. Let's let our actions be about helping people find and follow Jesus, the greatest teacher who ever lived. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for Jesus and the example he set. His teachings, the teachings of your Son, Father, have stood the test of time. And when all else failed, they remained true. And we thank you for your steadfastness and your faithfulness. And we just thank you for that. Help us today to commit ourselves evermore to who you really are. And to Christ Jesus. Help us to follow him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn to hymn number 349. Verses 1 and 2, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. 349. Stand as we sing. We thank you all for being a part of the worship today, the spirit, joy, and love that you've brought. And pray for one another as we take the challenge to get into Gospels. We want to be known as a church that follows Jesus, and to follow him, we have to know him. Amen.
Amen.
And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give us a really good picture of who Jesus really is. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? Don't forget the corrections, Saturday, September 28th to the 4th, baby shower for Sydney Wallace. Sunday the 6th, 4 o'clock, the Tar Heel Builders will be here with the plans at 4 instead of 5. Ladies Auxiliary on the 20th, we'll add that one at 4. All right. And men, looks to me like you got to get a plan in order for October to what? 26. You better write it down, because them women are going to be, they're going to be expecting a great meal, okay?
This is not a fundraiser. This is a freebie for the church.
It won't be fun if we don't have it done, though. Will it? Okay, today at 5 o'clock, all right. Anyone else? Yes. Hallelujah. It's good to have you home. Amen.
My daddy is 87 years old today.
Mr. Elwood. Speech. Yeah.
Don't know anything.
All right. Anyone else before we leave?
Grandma will be
90
on Wednesday.
Amen. On Wednesday.
We're all getting old.
We're just getting closer home. All right. Anyone else? I also remember the family of Pat Howard. She passed this past week. She was funeral was yesterday over from the Christian Chapel Church. All right. Let's unite together and pray like Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.